right, what's up, everybody? This is another episode of For What It's Worth with Wes Hoffman. Thanks so much for tuning in. I just want to say I'm really enjoying doing this podcast. This episode is with Oliver Conlin of The Carolyn, and they're based out of the Atlanta area in Georgia. Good friends of mine. I haven't been able to play as many shows with them as I wish we could. We're really into their music. I listen to their stuff a lot. Our bass player Jacob's into it as well. I tell a story about that on this episode. So yeah, I hope, I think we'll have a show with them sometime, maybe early next year. So looking forward to that. But yeah, I'm really enjoying doing this podcast. I have some awesome guests lined up. So please continue listening. I apologize that I didn't get an episode up last week. Actually, Oliver and I had this scheduled for earlier in the week last week, and I didn't get it up, and then because I had COVID, and he was sick as well, so I'm sorry that it wasn't, that I missed a week here, but I try to be consistent. I try to get one in a week, and just keep them rolling for you guys. So if you do like this podcast and you haven't followed us yet on whatever streaming platform you listen to this podcast on, please give us a follow and give us a rating as well. That just helps give us a little boost. You know, it makes me feel good. And then I think there's something out there with the algorithm that, you know, if they see that people are following and rating and giving it 5 stars, that they will show it to more people. So tell somebody about it if you like it too. So share it on whatever social. So that's all. Thank you guys. That's all. That's it. Thank you guys so much. Appreciate you tuning in, and enjoy this episode with Oliver from The Carolyn. Yeah, but I have Oliver Conlin from The Carolyn. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right.
Good.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad to hear you're feeling better. I'm on the mend as well. If people listen to this podcast, I probably sound a little bit different because I've got all this congestion happening here. But but yeah. Dude, I have a funny story about how – well, I heard about The Carolyn, your band, The Carolyn, a long time ago when I very first started putting out music, like in 2021. You guys were on some playlist or something like that was with one of my songs or like some radio show. And I was like, oh, these guys sound really cool. It was you guys and Fire Sale. I don't know if you've heard of them, but,
No, I don't think so.
They're kind of like a super group. It's Pedro from the Iron Roses and, Matt Riddle from, who was in No Use for Name and Face to Face. And, anyway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, oh, these guys are really cool. And so I started following you guys on Instagram. And this was way back. My band hadn't really done anything. We hadn't toured or anything. And then like a few months before we played that little fest with you guys in New York, our bass player, he hit me up and he was like, dude, have you ever heard of this band, The Carolyn? He's like, they are so good. He's like, I really dig it. This is totally my style. We should try to do something with them. And I was like, dude, I've totally heard of them. And then shortly after that, we played that fest with you guys. So your name's awesome. Out there, brother.
You know, we've been hearing like similar stories, maybe not so much with other bands, but like just for people that maybe stumbled upon us like years ago randomly. And then like maybe they listened a little bit and then fell off, or maybe they just heard one song and like, yeah, it's pretty good. And then like, I don't know what if it's the algorithm push sometimes that we get lucky with or what it is, but it just kind of like comes full circle sometimes.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Been happening more and more lately.
It does. I totally agree. Yeah, I mean, there's like sometimes people say the same thing about my band. They'll be like, "Oh yeah, I had seen your name before, but never really checked your stuff out." And then I think it's like, you know, my thought is like just. I have to be consistent. I have to keep putting stuff out there. I have to, you know, keep releasing music, keep touring, keep doing stuff. And I think eventually, you know, you'll find the right people.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but tell me a little bit about, so your guys' sound, you guys have kind of this unique,
you kind of remind me a little bit of the Lawrence Arms, a little bit of Alkaline Trio. Like, can you tell me a little bit about like some of your and you're a trio too, which is always interesting, you know?
So. Right. Yeah. So I mean, we all kind of have a lot of the same influences, or at least starting off points with influences, like, you know, like that sort of Chicago style, like punk, pop punk stuff. I think Dave is more into the like Story So Far type of pop punk.
Okay.
And then Andrew really is like more into stuff like the Bouncing Souls and like, you know, that style. And I'm kind of all over the place, but I like a lot more emo stuff. Like, a lot of my songwriting is very much inspired by like Joyce Manor. And I think we've taken some of our approach to song structure from them. They keep it short. There's not always like verse, chorus, verse kind of structure. But we have common ground, and then we all have kind of obviously places where we like divert from each other. Like, Dave is basically like a hip hop drummer. I mean, that's what he mostly listens to nowadays. And that's like the style, like certain grooves and fills and stuff that he brings.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know much about drumming, but that's the most basic way I can put it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense though, because I feel like Story So Far has a little bit of that hip hop like
bounce. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Right.
Yeah. No, and that all makes sense too, because your stuff is very, the Bouncing Souls comment, like, your stuff is very anthemic too, like, you know, it's very like fist pumping. It's the fest crowd, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
very
yeah, totally.
Much that org core, like, you know, fist pumping, like stuff that people can easily sing along to, which is totally my thing too.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I really credit Andrew mostly for that, because he is a very like melody driven person. That's like his strongest suit, is he can recognize a hook. And he pulls that out of my songs, because I'm more of a lyrics guy.
Okay.
And so I'll send him this, like, you know, voice memo where I'm just messing around acoustic, and I'm trying to jam as many syllables into a song as possible because I've written these lyrics that I really like. Whereas he sometimes will do the opposite. He'll send me a song where he might have one or two lines that he's repeating for the whole song, and maybe even singing gibberish. And he'll be like, hey, write some lyrics for this. And I mean, we've gone back and forth. We've both filled that role for each other, like, you know, the other way around in the past. But generally, that's how it works.
That's awesome. Yeah. Have you guys, how long have you guys been doing that? Like, been writing songs together?
So I joined the band in, I want to say, 2015 or 16.
Okay.
Andrew was kind of doing it as a solo project, and he put out the first EP, which I was not involved with, back in, I think that was 2015. I don't know. Time is such a blur to me. But yeah, I want to say that was early 2015. And then I sort of started learning the songs in like late 2015, early 2016, and started playing shows with them. And then I brought a song to him. It was Heavy Eyes, is one of the, was on our first album. And I was like, hey, I don't know if, like, Andrew knew one of my old bands, and he always liked my songwriting, even though the quality of that band's recordings was not great. He recognized like something about my songwriting that spoke to him. And so when I brought this song to him, he was like, yeah, dude, this is going to be a Carolyn song. Like, we can co-write if you want to, if we can keep this same level of song going.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he just trusted me, and we've been writing together ever since then.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's really cool. I like what you said about being like more lyrically driven too, because that's something that I have gotten better at, but I've always felt like it's my weakest area. You know what
really?
I mean?
Really interesting.
Yeah, I've always just felt like that usually comes last for me, is like I might have one line, like, you know, or I might have the chorus and the melody in my head, and I'll be like, okay, I want it to sound like this. But then I kind of, when it comes time to like write the lyrics, I'll be like, okay, what do I want the theme to be? And then what do those things, like, you know, what lyrics kind of match up with that theme?
Sure,
and,
yeah.
You know, I think it's like, it all stems from like, it's like a weird traumatic thing. Like, or I don't even want to say it's not even traumatic, but it's just like one of those things. Like when I was in high school, somebody told me that my lyrics sucked.
Oh, no.
One of our band members, you know? And I was like, and that just always stuck with me that like, I'm not very good at lyrics, but I've gotten better and I've always felt like when people have written lyrics for me, you know, they might have this paragraph of things that they want to say in the song. And I'm like, I'll kind of look at it and I'll be like, well, that doesn't fit with like the melody that I want to sing.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
I can't fit all that, those words into it. So you kind of, you know, now I'll kind of rearrange a little bit and be like, okay, well, you know, maybe I'll leave this word out, or like, what is the sentiment of this phrase and how can I say that in a different way? You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something I've been trying to do more of lately, is like just write lyrics down, because they come to me like that. They don't come to me, but like that's what I do all day, is just like I have a line or something that I want to write and I write it down, and I always have a melody to it in my head, but I never remember it. And so I'm just trying to like keep a back catalog. I call it a wellspring of like just words, just writing down words in a journal or in my notes app or whatever, with no idea in mind. And I just kind of like will go back and pull from them. And then if they don't fit melodically or syllabically, I can change it afterwards. You know, I can make little edits. Like I get married to ideas, or I used to get married to ideas and to specific lines and the way I was saying things. But Andrew is really like, taught me to kind of kill my darlings. He's really good at that. He's good at editing and trimming the fat, and he's sort of instilled that mindset in me, and it's been super helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's kind of, I can definitely relate to that too, of just getting like married. Well, I want it to be this way, you know, but if you think about it in a different way, it can be completely different, you know, and it could be better than my original idea too. Like,
yeah, absolutely. It often is.
Yeah. So you guys, I know you've toured quite a bit in Europe, right?
Yeah. Well, sort of. I mean, we've done two tours in Germany, but only Germany. I guess the last time we were there was 2023. Yeah, we went in 2022 and 2023. Both times in the summer. And the last time we went to Switzerland to play Abenusa Fest. I don't know if I'm saying that right. But other than that, it was just Germany. And that's pretty much all the touring that we've done, period. I mean, we did that East Coast run last year, which is when we met in New York. But that was like, other than that, we've just done little weekenders.
Yeah. That's cool, man. How did you, first of all, like why just Germany? Do you have like a connection over there or something, or?
Well, so our second album was put out by Gunner Records.
Okay.
And Germany, and we were supposed to just do Booze Cruise, just the festival in 2020, but it was 2020, so that didn't happen. And then finally, 2022 came around, and you know, the vaccines had rolled out, things had started opening up again. And we had put out this album, and Gunner is the guy who runs Gunner Records. He was like, well, you know, it's been 2 years and you guys have an album now and we're going to put it out. So why don't you just do a full tour out here? And we got lucky.
Yeah.
Long story short, to make that connection. I'm not really sure how we got in contact with Gunner to begin with. Actually, that's not true. New Junk City, our friends Atlanta, they played Booze Cruise, I want to say in 2019, and they made friends with our now good friend Ben, who runs the cater menu. It's the catering for Booze Cruise, or was. Booze Cruise is now defunct, but he was asking about other bands from the States, and I think specifically from Atlanta or nearby, that they should have at Booze Cruise. And Dakota from New Junk recommended us. So that's – I know that's how we got in connection with Booze Cruise, and I assume that there's a connection there with Gunner Records. They could have been totally separate. I'm not entirely sure. I'm not very much involved. I hear about these stories afterwards and try my best to remember them.
So, by the way, I love New Junk City too. They're so great. Good. Yeah, they're awesome. Yeah. They're so, I was just talking, I just had, well, it's been a while now, but I had Maddie from World's Greatest Dad on.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, we were talking about them too, and you guys.
Oh, nice.
Tell me a little bit about, like what is the scene? Everybody that I've talked to, that I've talked to about, like, the Atlanta, like, punk scene or music scene, is always like, you know, it's not that great. Like, you know, it's kind of fragmented. Like, you know, it's, and I think every scene in, you know, St. Louis included, where I'm from, like, right now we're going through a really big upswing, and like, there's a lot of bands and people are coming out to shows and there's like a lot of excitement, but there was a period like pre-COVID where it definitely was not that way. You know, so I'd just be interested in hearing kind of like your take on the scene there.
Right. Well, I think, everyone you spoke to from here has been correct. But I mean, there's a lot of really good bands from here, a lot of talented people, a lot of great songwriters, but, yeah, I don't know. Right after, you know, vaccine rollout, people did seem to be going to shows a lot more, and now it's kind of sort of tapered off, back to how it was before. But really, I think it just depends on the day or the week or the season. It's hard to say. I mean, the one thing I've noticed last year was that there's a lot of kids, like, you know, young Gen Z kids, like, going to all ages shows for like hardcore and like scrams and screamo bands.
Yeah.
Because I have a couple friends who are in those kinds of bands in Atlanta, and I don't know if it, like, it's a chicken and the egg situation. I don't know if the kids like that kind of music or if these bands just typically end up playing like all ages spaces, like art spaces and stuff, and so the kids can go to those shows. I'm not sure which, like, what was the impetus for that, but it's probably a little column A, a little column B, right? But that seems, as far as like punk or punk adjacent stuff, that seems to be what's most popular in Atlanta at the moment.
Yeah, it's very similar here in St. Louis. Like,
really?
Yeah, like hardcore and metal and, like, you know, super, super heavy stuff is so popular here now. There's a few bands. Have you heard of the band Squint?
I don't think so, no.
They're kind of like more of those, one of those more melodic hardcore bands like Drug Church or...
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, kind of like a poppier sound. And I think that, like, the bands like... Turnstile, Drug Church, Drain. I think those bands kind of going a little bit more mainstream has like pushed that. You know what I mean? I think a lot of people are like, oh, I want to find bands that are in my town that sound like that too. And then there's a band called Direct Measure, and they're from here, and they play all the time, and like people come out to their shows all the time. And one of their guys, I need to have him on the podcast. But he does a lot of booking here, and I think he has a couple other people maybe helping him. But he brings like all these bands that they tour with. He brings them to town. But I think it's you know, I'm 42, and like I never really got into that like super heavy music. I've always been like a melody guy, and I've always been kind of like poppier stuff. So, I mean, I go to those shows sometimes just because, like, I want to be a part of the community and get to know people and, all that kind of stuff. I want to be involved. But I don't think there's a lot of there's way more hardcore and metal bands in St. Louis right now than there are, like, pop punk bands. You know what I mean?
And, like, you know, back in, like, 2010 to 2015, it was, like, all pop punk bands here anyway. And now people just want some heavier shit, I guess.
Yeah. I think there is something to, like, you know, when you think of pop punk, and, like, my pop punk was, like, Lawrence Arms, Face to Face, Alkaline Trio. Kind of the more the old core. I always called it, like, the more mature punk. Like, I was a little bit MXPX. Like, I was before a little bit before like all that like Simple Plan, and I mean I like Blink 182 as well, but like before they got really really big, you know. So I was kind of more into that, and I think that era of like, you know, in like the 2010s, 2015, like that was when those bands kind of like the more modern pop punk bands kind of got bigger. You know what I mean? And I think it's like. Maybe people just grow out of like that's not the angsty thing anymore. It's like pop punk used to be like, I'm mad at my dad, my girlfriend dumped me or whatever, you know?
Right.
And now it's like the angsty thing is to like, listen to hardcore, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of that is political, which is awesome. So I appreciate that from a lot of these bands, and like, I never really got super into the like, I gotta leave my town and my girlfriend broke up with me kind of pop punk. And I mean, I don't know, maybe that's an exaggeration because I write songs that are similar to that anyway, but I don't know, I try to write in a way that's a little bit more open to interpretation. It's not directly about that kind of thing, but that's why I gravitated towards like the orgcore bands and stuff. Is like, yeah, they were writing about similar things, but the way they were presenting it was a little bit more existential, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree with that. I'm down with that. I like what you said about like open to interpretation, you know, because even some of my songs, like I think people think they know what they're about it, but it's really just their interpretation. And I'm like, well, that's, you know, they might say something to me about it at a show or something. They'll be like, oh, this song was about this or whatever. And I'm like, oh, well, and I wouldn't say this to them, but in my head, I'm like, that's not really what I was thinking when I wrote it. But.
Yeah, that's definitely happened to me too. It's like, I feel like a lot of songs, like Heavy As, the first song that I wrote for this band, it sounds like a breakup song. But it's not about a breakup with a person. But it could definitely be interpreted that way. But at the time I was like writing a breakup song for like my old habits or the way that I used to behave. And like I had this weird like addiction to lack of sleep, but then I would like binge and purge with sleep.
Yeah.
Like
you
know, I would go for like close to 24 hours without sleeping, and then I would sleep like all day because of my work schedule, because of what was going on in my life at the time. And I was like writing a hopeful breakup song, like I'm trying to break up with this version of myself. And it took a lot longer than that to get to that point. But it definitely, like, you know, especially if you're listening to that going through a breakup, that's going to sound like a breakup song to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a song by, Colin Hay. It's the one.
I love Colin Hay.
Oh, dude, me too. Me too. I'm looking it up on my phone right now. There's a song by him. It's the, where is it? I Just Don't Think I'll Ever Get Over You. It was on the State soundtrack. And you listening to that song, you would be like, man, this guy is going through a crazy breakup, maybe a divorce or something like that. And it was about him like giving up alcohol. And he was like, I'll never get over, you know. So I always think that's really interesting. And you know, a lot of times what I'm really trying to do with songwriting is like on our newer record that'll be coming out soon, like kind of like how Bruce Springsteen does, where he like puts himself in, he's like the narrator. You know what I mean? And it's where a lot of times in, you know, I write from like the first person's perspective, and I'll be like, you did this or you did that, and I'm leaving. And, you know, now it's kind of like you're telling a story. So it's like, you know, she was a westbound girl living in a lonely world. Or she took the westbound train going anywhere, you know, but kind of like that, you know what I mean? Because I'm just kind of trying to challenge myself a little bit more as a songwriter. I want to get out of my, I don't want every song to sound the same. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely find myself in a pigeonhole of writing first person most of the time, if not all the time. But I don't know. Andrew and I have this quest sort of, and I feel like we've abandoned it because we haven't talked about it in a while, but to like write a song that is just like, it's not a story or it's not a like emotional confession. It's not first or second person. It's just like, I don't know, poetry, I guess. I don't, that sounds so, yeah, so pretentious and corny, but just like, no me or you or they, or like no pronouns basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just, I wish I could give an example of a song that does that. I know there are, I just can't think of anything, but it's hard to do.
It
you just
is.
Wanna, sometimes you just want to write about, you know, feeling like shit or, you know, what's going on in the world or whatever.
It's true, man. I mean, I talked about it with Tony from Tired Radio on about how, you know, our first album and like our first EP was all about like, our first EP like was about, I was going through a divorce, you know what I mean? Ooh, so like everything, yeah, was about that. And like, you know, then on, when we put out our first album, I still had some of those songs that were about that, but I had also met my girlfriend. So I was like, there's a couple songs on there that are kind of like, you know, happier songs. And
yeah.
And then now the newer album, like none of the songs are about either of those things. I just kind of like kept it, you know, I tried to kind of separate myself a little bit from it. And that's a little bit more angsty, you know, but it's
nice.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little bit, I'll send it to you after, I'll send you the album. I'll send you a link to it. So you
dude,
can
that'd be
it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear it.
I'd love for you to listen to it. Oh, and I want to listen to your new album too.
Oh yeah. By the way, I was not able to get you a link. I think
okay.
Now that it's like pressed and almost ready to be out, I couldn't find a link. And Andrew's just super busy. So I actually don't know how to listen to my own album right now until I have a physical copy or it's on the streaming services, which is soon.
Yeah.
October 3rd, I think.
Okay. Okay. Awesome. Yeah. No worries, man. I'm stoked to listen to it. I can't wait. I think it'll
appreciate
be,
it.
Yeah. Yeah. If like, I know that you guys have put out a few songs that are going to be on it already on streaming, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
And
those
then,
are good. Yeah.
And then we have one more, I don't know when this podcast episode's coming out, but we have one more coming out, next week. So first week of September.
Okay.
I don't know what date, cause either I don't remember or nobody tells me anything, or both. It's probably both.
But, well, this is probably going to come out on like Tuesday. So,
okay.
Yeah.
That might be right before. Be right before the song is called Routines. If this,
okay.
If it lines up this way.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. No, dude, I try to do the episode. I was trying to do the episodes every Thursday. And this week I just like, I got sick. As you know, like I got sick.
Yeah.
And I couldn't, you know, I'm like, I know people are listening to the podcast, which is like exciting. I'm glad. I'm happy for that. But like, you know, I again going back to what I said early on, like I want to stay consistent because I feel like the more that if I go for 3 weeks without putting out a pod, like then people are like, where'd it go? You know?
Yeah, totally.
So, but yeah, I'm stoked to hear your new record for sure.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Likewise.
And you guys work with that, is it 59X?
Yeah, yeah, 59X Records.
Okay, yeah, yeah. And they, Rough Dreams are on that too, right?
They are, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the homies.
They're awesome dudes, yeah. I loved their record, Disappear, Reappear.
Oh, yeah, that was a great record. I really liked the way it was sequenced.
Yeah.
I always find that interesting. They had like the little interstitials and stuff. It was really good.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't gotten that. I'm kind of, I don't want this to sound derogatory in any way. Like, I'm not that artsy.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? I'm kind of like, let it all be about the songs. Like, but I will say, you know, I like throwing in like little things like, you know, movie clips or something like that. I think
sure,
that's
yeah.
cool, but I think it's awesome when bands do that. Like, I'm just all like, I don't know if it's just old school, but I'm like, let's just hit them with the songs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no. And I appreciate that. Cause I get ideas. I get a lot of ideas about that kind of thing. And then at the end of the day, like we have the songs recorded and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I'm over it. Let's just put these fucking songs out.
Yeah. So do you guys, one thing that I've learned is like, and you know, just songwriting in general, when I sit down to write a song, I'll kind of be like, most of the time, once the song is done, I'll be like, well, this is probably a song that could go on an album, but it's not a single, you know.
Sure.
Or like, when I'm sitting down to kind of like with this last album. So I guess what I'm getting at is like writing a singular song and writing for an album, I've learned, are like two different things. And you guys have like put out way more music than I have. So like, you know, what are your thoughts on that? Like, do you guys sit down and think, you know, hey, cause you want it to be cohesive and you want all the songs to kind of go together. And like,
sure,
like you said, you know, you want it to be in like a good sequence. And even when you think about vinyl, I've thought about like, okay, what would I want the first song on side B to be, you know what I mean? And
right,
you know, things like that. So I'd be interested to hear your take on that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we ever really have written songs in that way of like, this is going on an album. It's just kind of been like, well, we should make another album because we have all these songs now, these new songs that we've learned together. And we tend to like, I guess just the way it's been for us as a band is like, we put out our first record in 2019, at the end of 2019. And then COVID happened, so we couldn't really do much with it as far as like, you know, touring and playing shows on it. But we just went, you know, we hit the ground running online with it as much as we could. And then during like lockdown, we were all kind of going through similar things, and Andrew and I were writing sort of similar songs, and we were sending each other like acoustic voice memos back and forth. And like when we finally got in a room and were able to practice again, we were like, well, now we have all this batch of songs and they're kind of about the same, like about dealing with the same things, but in different ways. Cause we were all like cooped up in our homes for the better part of a year. And they just happened to all fit on an album. And then I think with this new record, it's a similar thing, but obviously the circumstances are different, but we're going through similar stages of our lives and sending songs back and forth again. And like, and there's a brief period in between, like when the record is recorded but not put out yet, and then like playing a bunch of shows after the record comes out, where we're not really writing anything, or at least we're not sending each other anything.
Sure.
So like, we need to take a step back from that right now. We can't write anything new. We got to just focus on this record, on like promoting it and everything. And then eventually we'll like, all right, well, here's some stuff I wrote while we were, you know, doing all that. So that's a very long-winded way to answer your question, but we don't really, I think the album comes together afterwards from like a batch of songs that we're happy
yeah
with, you know.
I think that makes sense. And what you said about like when you're promoting an album, like for a while you don't write anything new, like I'm the same way. I think I wrote stuff, but I was like, I was just writing to keep up the practice of songwriting.
Yeah, right. to keep the muscle from like atrophying, basically.
Yeah. And some of them are good, but you know, yeah, I probably had, like, you know, with this album, I've probably had 50 songs. Like, I usually write about, like, one or two songs a week. You know what I mean? Like, but they're not all good. Like,
yeah, same here. Right.
They're
right.
Not all good. Like, but
yeah, same here.
I feel like in it, it's like, for me, sometimes it's like a numbers game. It's like, well, out of these 30 to 50 songs, like 10 or 12 of them are going to be like, I'm really, really going to like, you know?
Right, right.
And I can kind of, I just demo my stuff out on GarageBand. So I like, it doesn't sound great, but I can usually be like, okay, if we did this in the studio and somebody mixed it really good, it would sound awesome. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, and I really need to get better. I bought Logic during lockdown because it was on sale. And I've not used it as much as I should. I like, you can see it. I have this microphone and my headphones, and I've got like all the guitars in the setup and stuff. But anytime I'm writing a song, I'm just sitting on the couch, like with my acoustic guitar.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I don't use any of this stuff hardly ever. And I'll send him to Andrew, and I know he gets annoyed with it sometimes because he's just sometimes, I mean, he's busy and he's a bad texter to begin with. Sorry to air your dirty laundry, Andrew, but you know you're a bad texter. But he'll be like, yeah, this song's cool, or he just won't say anything because he's busy. And then one day I'll send him one song and he'll be like, dude, this is the best thing you've ever written.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm like, all right, cool, cool.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, that helps. I don't have to do the heavy lifting there, basically. I'm just writing the songs and sending them for approval or for feedback. And sometimes they'll be like, oh, this part has a really good melody, but let's try to rewrite the other stuff. And we can work on it at practice together when we're ready to write songs again as a group.
Yeah. That's cool, man. I our bass player and I have kind of a similar dynamic when I send him songs. Like, I'm kind of like, sometimes I'll be like, dude, this is a really good one. And it's like really technical. And I put an awesome riff or guitar solo in there, and I'll like expect him to say something about it, and then he'll say Jacob, if you're listening to this, please don't be mad, it's like not a criticism, but he'll say something about every part of the song but that. I'm like oh dude, but that guitar riff was so sick, you know what I mean? Like, I was kind of wanting me to say something. I thought that would impress you.
yeah right Yeah, I've definitely had similar moments with Andrew. Maybe not so much about riffs, but like, I mean, like I said, I'm a lyric person first, so like, man, I really wish he'd clocked that lyric because I thought it was really clever, or I thought it was really pretty or something, and he would be like, no, the melody was just okay. All right, thanks, dude.
it's true though. It's like, I think some things like stick out more to other people. Like, I play guitar and sing, and I love to like listen to stuff that challenges me musically, like as a guitarist, you know what I mean?
Sure,
And then I like love stuff that jumps out at me, like melodically too. So I like to listen to stuff that like when I listen to it, I'm inspired, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Other people, you know, like our bass player, like he might not be as into like the technical stuff, and he might be more into the lyrics or like the melody or the song structure, you know what I mean? So yeah, everybody's different. So,
yeah, and I mean, having people with different perspectives on that in a band together that's collaborative is super helpful.
Oh, absolutely.
You don't get bogged down by one person's vision or, you know, somebody putting the hammer down and like, no, this has to be this way. And sometimes you will. I don't know if you've had this experience, but there's been times where I've like. And I'm sure you have, but there's been times where I'm like, no, this part of the song has to be exactly this way. And I will not concede with that. This happens very rarely, but when it does, like, Andrew's like, okay, there's something about it. Like, I respect that you voiced that. But otherwise, if you hadn't had a super strong opinion on it, if you were just kind of lukewarm about it, which is usually how I am about most things anyway, then he wouldn't have cared. But when I do actually like put my foot down, he knows, oh, it's serious. Like, this has to be, there's a reason why this has to be this way.
Yeah.
And yeah, if it matters that much to me, like maybe that'll come out in the song to the listener.
Yeah, absolutely.
In some way or another.
Absolutely. Well, dude, we're almost out of time. This has been fantastic, dude. I got to talk to you when we played that show in New York with you guys. I got to talk to Andrew more than I got to talk to you. So this was nice. Dude, I know you guys have some Tired Radio. You got the new album coming out October 3rd. I know you have some shows with Tired Radio coming up.
Yeah.
Anything else that you want to shout out?
No, I mean, shout out Tired Radio. Shout out Katie Rosa.
Yes,
Philly.
Katie.
Yeah,
I meant to mention her already.
She's cool. She's the bestie. And when she said there's good vibes in Philly heading your way. So I guess people are talking about your band in Philly.
Okay.
I think that's what she meant by that. She didn't elaborate.
We always have good shows in Philly. Like,
awesome.
Yeah, we played there three times. And I don't know if it's because, like, Jumpstart Records put out our first record, and they're from there.
Oh, okay, cool.
So so they really helped us get the word out. But, yeah, they I love playing in Philly. I really wish I could come to one of those shows if it, like, worked out with my schedule. but I really wish I could play one of those shows, those radio release shows you guys are doing. I'm like, oh my God, that would be so cool.
Yeah, I'm really excited for that. We had a kind of mixed experience in Philly. The only time we've ever played there, we played at Ortlieb's last year, shortly after that show where we met. And so I'm hoping this is a redemption this time.
Yeah. Oh, it will.
I think it will be.
It will be for sure. For sure. It will be. So awesome, dude. Thank you so much.
Thank you, man.
Yeah. I absolutely. It's so great to talk to you, and I'm glad you're feeling better. And we'll have this up on Tuesday.
Yeah. I hope you're feeling better too. Yeah. And hopefully our paths will cross in the real world.
Oh, they will.
Real world very soon.
For sure. Cool. All right. See you, buddy.
See you. Take care.